Revelation chapter 6. I'm entitling the message from what is said in this chapter, and we're going to look this morning, Lord willing, at verse 3 down through verse 8. But the title is The Lamb Upon the Throne Opening the Seals of God. The Lamb Upon the Throne Opening the Seals of God. We know from reading the previous chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ takes the book of God's eternal decrees. He opens the seals and executes the decrees of God's eternal, immutable book of His purpose. This book that's in the hand of God that the Lord Jesus Christ takes from God the Father is that book of God's eternal, immutable decree. Everything that comes to pass in time, everything that comes to pass in what we call human history, has all been decreed, fixed, and settled from all eternity. That's God. He's big, He's able, He does all things right on time, and He does all things well. A couple scriptures that help us understand that, let me read them to you. Isaiah 14 says, "This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. This is the hand that is stretched out among all nations. For the Lord hath purposed, who shall disannul? And His hand is stretched out, who can turn it back?" Remember in Isaiah 46, He said, "I've spoken it, I've purposed it, I'll bring it to pass, I will do it. None can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou?" God hath declared the end from the beginning. Known unto God are all of His works from the beginning. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who was worthy and able to execute all the purpose of God in saving us and judging others. Who is worthy? The question is asked. And John weeped because no man was worthy. And finally, someone said, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." And He took the book. The Lord Jesus Christ has right and title to all things as a God-man mediator, as a surety of the everlasting covenant. We read in John 3 that the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand. I want to be in His hand. None can stay His hand or say unto Him, "Lord God, what doest thou?" Now, last week we considered verses 1 and 2 of Revelation 6, and there we learned about the victorious Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2 again, Revelation 6. "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow and a crown, and he went forth, was given unto him, and he went forth conquering," overcoming, victorious over all things, conquering and to conquer. Our Lord Jesus Christ has entered into many battles, but He's never lost the battle. He's a victorious, conquering King. And the good news to believers is this: He's our God. He's God, our Savior. Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He wins, we win in Him. He went forth conquering and to conquer. Remember what we read in Romans chapter 8? We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We are conquerors in Him. "Whatsoever the Lord doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it. Nothing can be taken from it. The Lord doeth it that we should worship Him." We had that on the radio this morning. I hope some of you listened to the message. Ecclesiastes 3:14. "No one need add anything to what the Lord has done. His work is complete, and no one can take anything from what He has done. He gets all the honor and glory for the salvation of our soul." And we want it that way, don't we? Now, let's look at verse 3 and 4, and we'll consider this, the second seal being opened. "And when He had opened the second seal," now the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is executing the decrees of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, "and when He had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast," or the second minister, preachers of the gospel, those four beasts, "and he said, 'Come and see, come and see.'" Go and behold what great things the Lord hath done. This is still the message today of all gospel preaching. Come and behold the wondrous works of God. All things are of God in creation. All things are of God in providence. And all things are of God in salvation. He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Come and see. Come and see and behold the wondrous works of the Lord. Remember the message of the last Old Testament prophet? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of all God's people wherever they are in this world. And I heard the minister of the gospel say, come and see. Come and see. Come and behold the Lord, what wondrous thing He had done. And there went out another horse. Now, that was red, a red-colored horse. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now here we see, and this is really what has happened down through human history. Wars, rumors of war, men rising up against one another, shooting one another, killing one another, maiming one another, hurting one another. All those things are included in the eternal, wise purpose of God's decrees. As it is written in Psalm 44, we are, for thy sake, killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Down through many, many centuries of man, but more since the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the full accomplishment of salvation by His substitutionary blood sacrifice, we see the Lord's people suffering because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not exempt from it. Hold your place there and turn over here to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. You know, all the apostles, how did they die? They died in persecution, didn't they? Even the Apostle Paul was put in a Roman prison and executed. All the apostles, even John, when he writes this, he's on this Alcatraz of his day being punished for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 15, our Lord told the disciples that this would happen. John 15, 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. You see it, John 15, verse 19. If you are of the world would love his own, but because you're not of this world, I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my saying, they will keep your saying. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Now, stay right there in the book of John. Look at John chapter 16, verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he's doing God a favor. Now, how could the Lord speak with such definitive decree, knowing exactly what's going to happen? He knows that because He decreed it. He decreed it from all eternity, and time He brings it to pass. Now, stay right here in John chapter 16, and look at verse 32. Again, He tells His disciples, these days are coming, the time of persecution and heartache and famine and all these things for the gospel's sake. John 16, 32. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. Verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In this world you're not going to have peace. You're not going to have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation. Ah, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. You remember I pointed out last week that word there, overcome, is the same word we read in Revelation 6, verse 2. Conquering and to conquer. I have conquered. I have overcome. So in this world, yep, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have eternal peace because we have eternal salvation. When the Apostle Paul was stoned at Lystra, and when the Lord raised him back up to preach the gospel again, he told the people there, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. All who will live godly in the Lord Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution. Now notice back in our text, power was given unto him. Now, where does power originate from? Where does power spring from? All power is given of God. Power was given to this one who sat upon this red horse. Again, a symbolic language. This red horse is the horse of dread and murder and persecution. To take peace from the earth, power was given to him that they should kill one another, and there was given to him this great sword of slaughter. Now this power that was given unto him may be referring to all the wicked men, all the wicked kings that have ruled among men who have hated the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has hated the Lord's people, and have persecuted them unto death. The power of the ungodly men is not given of men, it's given of God. You see that there? God is in control of all things. You remember in Proverbs 21 where it says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it whithersoever he will, just like the river over here, the Big Sandy or the Tug Fork. The Lord turns that river just wherever it pleases him to do so. And that's what he does with the hand of every king, whether it be Pharaoh, whether it be Nebuchadnezzar. You remember Nebuchadnezzar was taught of God, and he said, the Lord is in the heavens, and he has done whatsoever he had pleased. You remember God raised up a pagan king named Cyrus, named him and decreed what he would do to set the Babylonian captivity of the children of Israel and to end it and to set them free. How did that happen? God decreed it to be done. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And it doesn't matter who the king is. It may be our president. It may be the president of the United States. It may be the president of what do they call that country over there? Russia. Everybody's concerned about Russia and the things that are going on. All those things that are happening right now. We see some horrible things happening. My friend, all those things come to pass on God's purpose. Purpose. He's not vacated his throne. He does everything he wisely does on purpose. On purpose. All the kings of the earth accomplish God's purpose. The powers that be are ordained of God. You remember Psalm 76:10, the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder of wrath thou shalt restrain. Now, I don't know what's going to happen in the current conflict that we see going on, but you who have been around a long time, you've seen World War II, you've seen the Korean War, you've seen the Vietnam War, you've seen all the Gulf Wars, and now we've got another war. And you know what? We're going to see more wars, rumors of wars, and more war. All these things come to pass, not by fate, not by any kind of happenstance. These things all come to pass on purpose. Purpose. If we just learned that, it'd give us such peace and assurance in our heart. And I know looking at those things on the... Turn to Isaiah 45. Looking at those horrible images that we've seen, you know, in the last 40, 50 years. Heartbreaking. Heart-wrenching. And I weep for those people. I know you do too. But these things are all decreed of Almighty God. Now look at Isaiah 45. Turn over there. Isaiah 45. Look at verse 5. Isaiah 45, verse 5. He said, I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord. There is none else. I form the light. I create the darkness. I make peace. I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Turn one page. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old. I am God. There is none else. I am God. There is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. Now, how can he do that? Because he's decreed everything that comes to pass. All things are of God. He declared the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man, whoever he may be, to execute my counsel from a far country. I have spoken it. I'll also bring it to pass. I purposed it. I'll do it. Now, a lot of people are of the idea that everything that is wicked and evil and all this wars and all these things, Satan's doing all that, and God is over here on his side. He's trying to stop all that, and then we have a conflict. No, the devil is God's devil. He can't whisper, make a move a hand, a muscle, if he has any. He can't do anything except God decree it to be so. So this red horse, power, all powers of God, and power was given to take peace from the earth, that men should kill one another and do so with a sword, and then go around and brag about it. Now, I got more bombs than you got. I got bigger bombs than you got. God is control of all things. You know, the prime example of that to me is this. When the Lord Jesus Christ dies at Calvary's tree, it's not an accident. We're going to study in the Revelation, he's a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. We study in the book of Acts, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. You have taken and by wicked hands have crucified the Lord of glory. And then he comes to Acts chapter 4 and he says that Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Jews and Gentiles will all gather together against the Lord and against his Christ. They did what they wanted to do. They did what they had that hatred in their heart to do. But they did what God determined before to be done. That's true then, and it's true in every other case. God is God of all things in absolute control, even over the wicked deeds of men. He controls all things. And I'm glad it's so, because he does so wisely. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He will. Now, here's the second thing in verse 5 and 6. When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, again, that repeated message, come and see, come behold the works of the Lord. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, a measure of barley for a penny, see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now, the black horse with his pair of balance scales, this black horse represents, and the rider represents, poverty, hardship, economic turmoil, mourning, famine. Black is a color of sorrow, isn't it? Black is a color of sorrow. This, too, the Lord is fully and absolutely sovereign over. I remember a statement I read by John Gill, who lived back and ministered in the early 1700s. I read this statement. I've never forgotten it. He said, God is the first cause and last end of all things. Now, you think about that. The first cause. There may be second, third, and fourth causes. God is the first cause and last end It's all going to end according to His purpose. You remember, He's the beginning and He's the end. He's the first, He's the last. It's all going to serve His purpose and His glory to the good of His covenant people. We often quote this scripture, Romans 11:36, for of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever and ever. And then it says, period, and then it says, Amen. Amen. When trouble and hard times spread over the land, it not only affects all unbelievers, it also affects the Lord's people as well. When we were flooded here on New Year's Day, it affected us, but it also affected this whole county. The whole county had trouble. The whole county was flooded. But here's the difference. The Lord will provide and care for His people. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And all the floods that we've been through here together, we've been through some floody, muddy messes. The Lord's always provided for us. The Lord has always taken care of us. Now others, and those weren't easy times. They were hard times. My back still aches from those times. But my times, as David said, my times are in Your hand. But the Lord's provided for us over the years here, has He not? The Lord has blessed us over the years. And He's good to His word. He said the Lord, you remember Abraham said to Isaac, the Lord will provide. He provided Himself a sacrifice. He provided the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul reminding the believers at Philippi, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory, through the Lord Jesus Christ. He provides for us so generously, abundantly. He's given us eternal life. He's pardoned all of our sin. He's given us redemption from the guilt and condemnation of sin. He says this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The Lord will take care of you. Seek Him first. But I like this statement here, the last part of verse 6. Don't hurt the oil and the wine. Don't, the Lord will give us enough, a measure of wheat, a measure of barley. But then He said, don't hurt the oil and the wine. Now, the oil and the wine here is a picture of the gospel. The Lord has a special eye upon His people. He will take care of them, will never leave us, will never forsake us. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. All persecutions and trouble and hard times cannot separate the Lord's people from His loving, tender care. We read that list there in Romans 8. Who can separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ? It is an exhaustive list. Nay, in all things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I'm persuaded. What persuasion are you? I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, principality, nor power, nor things to come, nor things present, nor things to come, height, or depth, or any other creature shall separate us from the love of God which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate us. We are blessed in the Lord Jesus Christ with the oil of His Spirit. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us the oil of His Spirit abundantly. You have He quickened who were dead. The Spirit quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. He's taken the things of Christ and revealed them unto us. The oil of His blessings, the oil of God, the Holy Spirit, anointing us, teaching us, loving us, shedding abroad the love of God in our heart by the Holy Spirit. And then He mentions there the wine. When you think about wine, we're going to take the Lord's table in a few minutes. And when we think about the wine, we think of His blood. His blood being shed for us. It's the wine of His love. Having loved His own, He loved them with an everlasting love. He loved us. His love is a sacrificial love. It's the wine of His love. Everlasting love. It's the wine of His mercy. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. And it's a wine of His grace. You remember the promise in Isaiah 55, "Ho, everyone that's thirsty, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." It's free. "Justified freely by His grace. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of death." Even the sure mercies of David, rather. The sure mercies of David. Now, let's read on for just a few minutes here, verse 7 and 8. And we see the fourth seal being opened. "And I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. Death and Hell. Death and Hell followed him. And power was given unto him over them, over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, with the beast." These are wild beasts of the earth. Again, the minister of the gospel says, "Come and see." The pale horse here represents, and the one who sits on that pale horse represents, death. The wages of sin is death. The red horse represents wars. The black horse represents famine, grief. And here we're given the name of the pale horse, death. The pale horse. When someone dies, they just kind of go pale, don't they? The pale horse. The pale horse and the rider represents death and the grave that will follow. We know the end of this flesh. We see this all the time, don't we? Don't we see this every day? You pick up the paper every day, and there's an obituary every day. Back to the dust. This flesh is going back to the dust. Back to the dust. Power was given unto him over the fourth part. Now, I'm not sure what the fourth part has reference unto. Maybe being the fourth part of this vision being the fourth seal. But nonetheless, it's all controlled by God Almighty. We know that death is an appointment of God decreed for all flesh. It's appointed unto men once to die. You'll never be late for that appointment. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, judgment. There are no, we often use these phrases, "it was an accident," or "it was an untimely death." There are no accidental, untimely deaths. Everybody dies exactly on time because God has fixed and decreed the time, the means, and the way, however it may be. It may be a car wreck, it may be a virus, it may be a bug, it may be this illness or that. God has fixed and decreed all things in your life and in your death. Listen to these scriptures. 1 Samuel 2. "The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave, and He bringeth up." Deuteronomy 32. "The Lord says, See, now I am He. There is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. There is none that can deliver out of my hand." Sounds like somebody's in charge. Thank God it's our loving Heavenly Father who does all things right. Death may come by various means. He mentions here hunger. He mentions here the sword. Or he mentions here the wild beast. But always remember, it's appointed end of all flesh. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. The flesh must return to the ground because God said it would, and the spirit back to God who gave it. Death to the unbeliever will be a terrible, great day of eternal judgment to the unbeliever. Death will be an eternal judgment day of great eternal condemnation. But to the believer, It will be a grand day of celebration. Not eternal condemnation, but eternal glory. We sing unto Him, remember in Revelation 1, verse 5 and 6, unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood, to Him be all the honor and glory and blessing both now and forever. It will be a grand day of celebration. Now, I'm probably a weird person because I enjoy going to the cemetery and reading the tombstones. Do you ever do that? Sometimes I'll watch these YouTube shows where they go to these old cemeteries. I watched one the other day about Doc Holliday, that famous Western, and he's buried in Colorado near to where my great-grandfather is buried. And we were watching that show, and I like reading. They go around and read the different when they were born, when they died, and who they were, and what they did. But I enjoy reading those. There is a little cemetery over here where we live, the family cemetery, just up from where we live. And I've asked permission from the family if we could be buried there, and they've given us permission. I went up there yesterday, kind of looking around at those tombstones. There's about six or seven people buried there. And one of the tombstones of a little infant that had died, maybe a day or two old, and a little tombstone at the bottom that said, "Gone home." I thought, that's it. That's it. That little infant is with the Lord. Gone home. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." Death to the believer is not punishment, it's promotion. Promotion. That's why we're going to study in Revelation 14:13. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. That's a blessing. Blessing are those who die with the Lord Jesus Christ. When He was crucified, we were crucified in Him. When He was raised, we were raised up in Him. When He is seated in the heavenlies, when He ascended to glory and He sat down, we sat down in Him. That's why the psalmist said, death is precious in the sight of the Lord, is the death of His saints. Now, when you think about death being called blessed and precious, it's not that to every person. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. So, all these horses and the riders and all these things, we're going to look at the rest of this chapter next week, the fifth seal and then the sixth seal. All these things, our God is in absolute sovereign control over all things. And these things that we see happening from human history, all the way from human history, including Adam's fall, Adam's ruin, that was no accident, was it? That was all part of the decrees of God. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation in Him is all fixed, settled, certain, and sure.